Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Grid Super Bowl coverage continues from the FanDuel Sportsbook set here on a Wednesday morning. The San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. We are live from Las Vegas. I'm Kevin Walsh. That is Joe Lisi. That is Donnie Wrightside. And that, of course, Ben Stevens here as we get set for, again, this incredible matchup on Sunday that we have seen before, just a few years ago. But some key pieces have, of course, changed. The Niners have a new quarterback, arguably a new most important player with Christian McCaffrey as their running back. Tyreek Hill is no longer here, and all of a sudden the Chiefs have an elite defense. What has stayed the exact same are the two head coaches, Andy Reid for Kansas City and, of course, Kyle Shanahan for the San Francisco 49ers. And the fact that these two have been here before, Ben, head-to-head against one another is, I think, something Chiefs backers are relying on.
And, Kev, do you remember the narrative? Entering that day on a Sunday in South Florida for Super Bowl 54, Andy Reid falling short on the most significant of stages. He had not won a Super Bowl prior to that victory over the San Francisco 49ers. Now, in the last 4 years, Andy Reid has 2 Lombardi trophies. DRS had looked to go back-to-back and make 3 Super Bowl rings against Shanahan. And once again,
if we look back at that Super Bowl, guys, the one thing that's changed for me, I think this is a better version of the San Francisco 49ers. And maybe learning from your mistakes is going to be the key here for Kyle Shanahan and those San Francisco 49ers. I'm looking forward to a good ball game, but both of these teams, they deserve to be there, Joe.
Yeah, absolutely. And it starts with their quarterbacks. We talk about Pat Mahomes and Brock Purdy on the other side, 31 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. But more importantly, guys, back-to-back come-from-behind wins to put them into the Super Bowl. That could be the difference Sunday night.
Our radio audience is here, Sirius XM Channel 159. Sports Grid is live with you covering Super Bowl 58, the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. Joe, you mentioned the come-from-behind victory for San Fran in both games in the NFC playoffs. And that is something that Kyle Shanahan has not been known for. Kyle Shanahan is an excellent play caller. Everybody knows it. Very few are even willing to call him anything other than an excellent head coach. But if the fourth quarter begins and the Niners are not winning, he might be dead last in terms of guys you want. Until, Ben, the game against Green Bay and the game against Detroit, where Shanahan plus Purdy, but focusing in on Coach Shanahan, really started to turn things around.
Historic in the NFC Championship game, Kev, when you think about that dramatic comeback for San Francisco, the largest ever halftime deficit overcome in a conference championship game in NFL playoff history. And for Kyle Shanahan specifically, his teams down by 17 at the halftime break had never come back to pull out a W. Donnie, they did so in the biggest moment for San Francisco to get back to their second Super Bowl appearance in the last 5 seasons. And although the 49ers have appeared in 4 of the last five NFC championship games, only two Super Bowl appearances now, and still looking for that first Lombardi trophy.
Yeah, you take a look, and sometimes you can draw back on what the San Francisco 49ers did the last two games, guys. You take a look at that and say to yourself, well, was that actually good that they had to come from behind? They can learn and draw from that in the Super Bowl? Or do we feel that maybe that wasn't the best version of the 49ers and maybe some trouble coming up in the Super Bowl as well? But if you're looking at both of these head coaches, right, unbelievable play callers. We don't have that CEO head coach, right? Let me just worry about the game plan, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. These two guys are the central focus of this football game because why? They're calling the plays. They're involved. Who's calling the better game plan? That's who's going to win this game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you give the edge to Kyle Shanahan because of the offensive balance right now with Christian McCaffrey and Brock Purdy. San Francisco averaging 138 rushing yards per game, 251 through the air. Multiple games, guys, over 30 points. And really, Kev, when you look at just Kansas City doing it with defense, doing it more with the rushing attack of Isaiah Pacheco, and that's the matchup that we're going to see play out Sunday night.
Yeah, we certainly will. I do think, though, it is important, I guess, to remember, if you look at the current coaching crop in this league, there really is no perfect coach. You know, Bill Belichick, of course, had this aura around him that he could do no wrong. I think we learned a lot of it. I don't want to say all of it, but having Tom Brady was a very big boost. But, hey, well, what's the knock on Kyle Shanahan? It feels like if they get up in a big game, you don't trust him to close it out. But Andy Reid, again, is hardly perfect. The scripted portion of these games for the Chiefs in the AFC playoffs have been brilliant. And they keep getting to the second half, and it's atrocious. And I don't think Andy's building out 15 plays and forgetting another 15 on top of that. And obviously, Donnie, again, I revert back to you because of all of your knowledge of when he was with Philadelphia. Listen, he's now broken through and won two Super Bowls. But all of the things that had people questioning, is this guy really that great? To a degree, they all still exist.
And maybe, you know, I brought up this point as well. You're taking a look here at maybe his best coaching performance of his career when the offense is probably the worst it's ever been. And drawing back from those Philadelphia days, we would sit in the stands and scream, run the football. Well, now they're actually running the football. 24 carries multiple times out of a single running back. That was unheard of in the Philadelphia days. It was pass, pass, pass. We'll see what the final score is at the end of the game. But drawing back from those times where, and again, Ben, in the openings, yep. You know, we're talking about, he's going through all the maturity. Andy Reid, back in the day, losing on the biggest stage, which is the NFC Championship game. 2004, going to the Super Bowl, losing that game. We never thought he'd get over the hump. And also, keep in mind, in his Kansas City days, that loss to the Colts, where they had the biggest lead we've ever seen in the playoffs, where they blew that game. It's like, oh, that's all Andy Reid does. He's learned from that multiple world championships. So I think I'm going to give the coaching lean to Reid because he's been there, done that. But I do expect a really good game plan out of Kyle Shanahan.
The postseason pedigree is there for Kansas City. Now, two Super Bowl championships in the last four seasons. We had this debate and we had this conversation around the Detroit Lions entering the NFC Championship game, their first conference title game appearance in more than three decades. It is interesting now for San Francisco, Joe, because we think of them as one of the most successful franchises in National Football League history, and they are. But their last Lombardi Trophy was 1994. They have reached the NFC Championship game seven times in that span, but they're looking to get over the hump, and that is Kyle Shanahan's task on Sunday.
It is. And Steve Young was the last quarterback to bring home that trophy. Brock Purdy could be that guy as well. And that's why I think tempo does take over this ballgame. If you're Kyle Shanahan, you have the better offensive weapons. You want to push a little bit of tempo and see if Pat Mahomes can match you score for score. That is the big thing to Donnie's point as well. The household names for Kansas City are no longer on the offensive side of the ball with just Kelce and Pat Mahomes. They're on the defensive side of the ball. So they really need to dictate their style of game, low 20s, potentially they can win it, Kev. We'll see how it plays out, because if they jump up early, San Francisco could be lights out.
But I also do think aggressive play calling. They're probably one and two, depends maybe where you rank McVay. But they aren't the most aggressive play callers. A lot of times, be fourth and three, and you're like, well, you have Mahomes, you'll start, well, what is Tommy Townsend doing out there? Or it'll be fourth and three, and he goes, jet sweep to Kadarius Toney. Brother, what are you doing? Stop taking it out of 15's hands. And we saw back in Super Bowl 54 what happens when you give 15 the ball. He finds Tyreek down there somewhere. We look back at the first meeting in the Super Bowl and what it can tell us about this one next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Pro Football Today, breaking down Niners Chiefs. We've broke this down before. Did I know all of you then, though? I knew you.
You knew me.
Donnie, not so much. I mean, BSS was exclusively doing Penn State.
I was in Iowa.
High school back then, too.
You know Omaha's in Nebraska, right?
Yeah, that I know.
What we want to do here, though, is talk about this first Super Bowl meeting, 31-20. Kansas City wins that game in comeback fashion. And if there's anything we can take away from it, lessons learned. And I do have to go to Donnie first again, because I've heard you many times reference how hard it was to watch that game play out for you as a bettor. And I know at times you've even said, Casey wasn't the right side, despite the 11-point victory.
Yeah, and if we're looking at that game optimistically in the first half, you probably would have feared yourself, okay, 10-10 is fine, but it's the way you got to 10-10 in that game. Mm-hmm. You knew Patrick Mahomes was explosive, but the 49ers, to me, again, as we're going to talk about, were the better team in that game. But when you start to watch it play out where Kyle Shanahan was aggressive all year long and then all of a sudden goes, you know what? My quarterback, who I trusted all season long, I don't trust him in the biggest moments. I got a couple timeouts. I want to move down the field. I want to get a field goal before they have to get that momentum. Started taking knees with multiple timeouts in about 40 seconds on the clock. And we're not talking about guys we started on our own 15-yard line. 35-yard line stunned me right off the bat. Now, granted, I had a team total, which I needed one more field goal and didn't get it. Didn't make those big plays in the second half. But this is what we keep drawing on. Kyle Shanahan's been there before. He can't make that same mistake, which gives me confidence, guys, in the 49ers that he's not going to play this game conservatively.
Well, if he gets up, I think this over's in play as well with the 47.5. And to Donnie's point, second-half adjustments. He's a better second-half coach now, I believe, in my opinion, than he was 4 years ago. The biggest thing for me is short to intermediate routes in terms of the passing game, 3 of 8 in terms of third-down conversions. They were put into long situations, especially at the end of that ball game. No confidence in Garoppolo. Misses Emmanuel Sanders, and when you have a running back on the other side rocking Air Jordans, baby, and Damian Williams that rushes for a 104 on the ground and a touchdown, very difficult to really stop the momentum for Kansas City in terms of that ball game. I'm curious to see, Ben, how this game does play out, because if it is a lower scoring game like we've seen maybe potentially in Kansas City's regular season, can he make the adjustments to really stress that defense over the top?
And what is so interesting, Kev, you mentioned an 11-point victory margin for Kansas City to claim that first Super Bowl championship in this Reed, Mahomes, and Kelce dynastic run. And when you look at the overall score, KC 31, San Francisco 20, the Chiefs were a pregame point-and-a-half favorite. The over-under for Super Bowl 54 in Miami was 53. It looks pretty cut and dry. Kansas City was the right side. They cover that short spread. The favorite covers the number, barely staying under the total, but still we got over the 50-point mark. But again, it's a part of that narrative for Kyle Shanahan, because the San Francisco 49ers did have a 20-10 lead late in that third quarter that Kansas City came back and absolutely overcame. They were the favorites, but as Donnie has mentioned, maybe not the better side. They enter Super Bowl 58 as the underdogs,
but they were the favorites, and that cannot be forgotten about this. And it's not a massive move, right, from one team in that game being about 2.5 to now being here and sitting as the Niners 2.5. But the expectations going into that game were they have Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's the best, and there's no way that they're going to be able to knock him down. And it was validated through everything that that team did throughout the full season. It is why I have continuously paused on the notion of this game being decided by, well, they have Pat Mahomes. That is not how this season has played out. But another notion for people who took the Chiefs in that game, which I agreed with, well, they have Jimmy Garoppolo. And that is something that I'm never going to stop pointing out. You do not have to believe that Brock Purdy is a world beater. You don't have to think he's elite. But you're out of your mind if you don't understand that he is obviously better than Jimmy Garoppolo. And to something you mentioned, Donnie, Kyle Shanahan believes Brock Purdy is wildly better than Jimmy Garoppolo. The Niners had nothing but success with Jimmy G as their quarterback and did everything in their power to move on from Jimmy G because of games like that. One touchdown, two picks, no mobility, complete statue from a different era, basically, playing in today's game. And we saw how that played out in Vegas. And that, to me, is one of the biggest differences when we go through what's available here. But the other thing is, you go through that box. There's no Brandon Ayuk in that box score. And there is, of course, no Christian McCaffrey. That's the thing. This Niners team is unquestionably better than the one that showed up to that year's Super Bowl.
So many more offensive pieces for this San Francisco team, Christian McCaffrey being that lead guy for this 49ers offense, but also Deebo Samuel, who was in his rookie year in that game in Super Bowl 54 and yet put together a great performance. As we touched on yesterday, Joe, with your best bet, Deebo Samuel for Super Bowl 58 to go over 16.5 rushing yards. He certainly cleared that number in Super Bowl 54. He even had a 30-plus yard run, which on the FanDuel Sportsbook, live right here on the FanDuel Sportsbook set inside the Mandalay Bay Convention Center, you can bet that exact thing. Deebo Samuel to have the Super Bowl 54 repeat, Lisi, at 30-plus yards on the ground. It's a big plus money number, but it might be enticing. We know how integral Deebo Samuel is in this San Francisco offense. We saw it way back in his first season in the NFL. We expect to see it here once again.
Yeah, he's a spark plug, right? He's the Tyreek Hill player that Kansas City hopes to have and really doesn't outside of Travis Kelce and Rashee Rice, right? You can utilize Deebo Samuel in multiple schemes and formations, fly sweeps, get him out on the perimeter, bubble screens and a little pop passes that gets him in terms of one-on-one opportunities. The biggest thing for me too, guys, is in, to Kevin's point, you talk about how the books established just Brock Purdy in terms of the number, 245.5 right here on FanDuel. Jimmy Garoppolo in all of his days in San Francisco never had a passing prop in terms of 245.5. Didn't even have it in terms of Las Vegas with the Raiders now. So that is the biggest progression in terms of this offense. Explosive at every level. Now, can they capitalize on that to put the pressure on Mahomes every time he has the football? If that's the case, I think they potentially win this ball game by double digits, Donnie.
There's a chance they can do that. And also, you go back to that last Super Bowl, and what was the talking point? Well, you don't trust Jimmy Garoppolo in the biggest moments, as Kevin alludes to. You trust here now with Brock Purdy in those biggest moments. But when we use the game manager number, we had it with Jimmy Garoppolo. You still get that this year with Brock Purdy. And my favorite counter response is, all right, if he's a game manager, put his statistics up and go side by side with Patrick Mahomes. Oh, look. Mahomes now officially a game manager, so it's unfair to actually do that. And then when you look at the Chiefs in that Super Bowl, do you remember actually, guys, what the biggest play of that game was? Third and a mile, the Chiefs dead in the water. Who did you have and bailed you out? Patrick Mahomes make a play, Tyreek Hill get on blown coverage, and they got right back in that football game. Where's that coming from this year? Where's the busted big play wide receiver going to come from, guys?
Oh, well, Kadarius Toney, Hardman,
Scott Moore.
But that is the funny thing is they basically they still have Travis. Rashee Rice is broken out.
Yeah.
And it's just a bunch of guys that have profiles like Tyreek Hill, but they just make you appreciate Tyreek Hill significantly because none of them can do what he did. You know, the other thing in that box score that will grab your eyes, Mahomes 2 interceptions. We've mentioned this before, and sometimes I hesitate to do this because then it's like, oh, you're doubting the best. I'm not doubting it. He has not been flawless in Super Bowls. That is the reality of it. Brady obviously outplayed him in that game, and we know that I believe Hurts did last year. I know they won the game. And that's another thing, and we have so much time to get into all of this. We're going to talk to the pro football doc, Dr. David Chow, a little bit later on. But one of the big things in that game that I know I didn't value enough going in, Chiefs Bucks now mentioning here, is the offensive line injuries for Kansas City. I thought, oh, they seemed very overblown, and they weren't. Joe Tooney, I mean, almost assuredly is not going to play in this football game, and this is not an offense that can afford to have any key pieces missing. I know he wasn't available for the game against Baltimore, which is why I keep begging people to acknowledge that the Ravens' offense outgained them. Better yards per play. I'm not saying they were the better offense on the day, but it's all stuff to evaluate. All next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back with you right here on SportsGrid. And I don't know. Have I really earned the right to host this conversation? I mean, we're doing alt spreads. I don't even think Lisi can tell you what the spread of this game is.
Doesn't know it.
55?
He couldn't tell you the total either, quite frankly. He's like, look, this game is 9.5 and 63.5. But that is, I think, one piece we'll just take right off of the prior Super Bowl we talked about is KC won by 11. One of the things that Donnie does that really does impressively get under my skin is he sees a spread. He goes, come on, what are the chances that comes into play? But let's use that premise for a moment here and say, all right, you know what? Maybe 2.5 isn't going to come into play. Instead of taking Chiefs plus 2.5 or plus 110, maybe they just roll this team. Maybe they win this game by 11 again. I know there's a market for the same final score to be a repeat of itself. But I'll ask you, Ben, how feasible do you believe it is that the Chiefs win this game by double digits, covering an alt spread of 9.5?
I don't think the Chiefs are covering that large of a number. If you wanted to make KC a short favorite, keep it under a field goal. I believe the number that I just saw in the FanDuel Sportsbook was around a plus 146 price for the Chiefs to be a 2.5-point favorite and still win this game by 3. That flat number of a field goal is one of the most key numbers in all the National Football League and could be here. Obviously, the 49ers right now, a 2.5-point favorite. You could look at Kansas City making them a short favorite. The last two Super Bowls, Joe, have been decided by exactly 3 points. But again, this is a conversation about the alts. And I think it's been pretty clear that your affinity for San Francisco and Super Bowl 58 is here in Las Vegas. So what is the alt number that intrigues you the most with the 49ers?
Well, for me, I think it's 6.5. And the reason why I say that is, or even maybe potentially 9.5. I wouldn't lay the 10.5-point number. And the reason why I say
Why not 13.5?
You immediately went, 6.5 is key. Could be 9.5.
Let me tell you why. The reason why I say, and we're sitting on a 2.5-point number, right? Yeah. So just think about it in regards to that. If it is, let's say, a 3-point game heading into the fourth quarter, turnover on downs or a stop potentially, San Francisco short field, tacks one in, there's your 10-point difference in regards to that. I thought Baltimore had the type of team potentially to do that playing at home. Obviously, they didn't step up. One-dimensional, lose that ball game by 7 points. But it really comes down to game flow for me for San Francisco. Their ability and their playmakers, explosive plays. And here's the other thing, too, when we just look at this breakdown from an alt perspective market, right? Look at Kansas City, the teams that they have blown out, Chicago, Jacksonville by 8. But then let's look at the flip side. They've lost to Green Bay. They've lost to Buffalo. They lost to Philadelphia and Detroit, all teams. And oh, by the way, they lost to a mediocre Russell Wilson team, 24-9 in terms of that ballgame where they lost by 15 points. And Pat Mahomes had one of his worst games of the year. It's possible with this defense and the lack of firepower in terms of Kansas City, where if they can't run the football effectively, guys, I would lay the 9.5, Donnie.
I'll tell you, if we're looking at alt numbers for me, and again, it is always going to slant to who you think is going to win this football game, but we have to be honest with ourselves. There's a lot of people out there that like Kansas City, and rightfully so. Can Kansas City win this football game? Absolutely they can. But you got to be out of your mind to alt Kansas City. What's the MO for them? Let's run up a 10-point lead, choke the game away, let's just win by 3 points and get out of town. Like, that's my angle on it. San Francisco playing from the lead, home run hitters all over the place, even if they're trying to run the clock out. What have we seen from Kansas City in the second half of this season? I'll have a little bit of a talking point on that later, but it's roughly a touchdown they average in the second half, which is unbelievable, which means if you have a 14-point lead from Kansas City at the break, you know what you win by? 7, 6, less than that. They're not holding that number here, Kevin.
So what I would say is, I get your point, right? But this team was catching 4.5 last round. They won the game by 7.
Mm-hmm.
You go from plus 4.5 to minus 6.5. You're getting a really nice number.
I know. You can say, Donnie, look at the final. Let's just go to 6. But the way that game played out was like Kansas City was like, we're done on offense. Oh. We're going to wait you out. I mean, eventually, that's supposed to catch up to you.
Trust me, I'm playing devil's advocate
because I
think they're going to get smashed. I mean,
why even do the show anymore?
We're hanging out way too much.
This whole thing will be your fault, but you'll get all the credit for what's going to play out. So that is the intrigue on the KC thing. I will say, but perfect world, right? The perfect world for San Francisco is winning, they win by 14. That's how they, and that's against whomever they play. And if you look, and this is why the NFC games have given me so much confidence in San Francisco. Consecutive wins by three. Brock Purdy had never won a game before by less than a touchdown as a starter, which is outrageous. All of his losses, by the way, came this year.
Yeah.
So Brock Purdy has lost four games. I'm removing the NFC title game, go Birds. But the rest of them are all touchdown victories. So 6.5 as a starter, but there's also not that many 7-point wins. It is primarily Niners by 10-plus.
San Francisco was so dominant throughout the 2023 NFL regular season. Mm. 12 victories, number one seed in the NFC. When you look at those 12 wins, they scored at least 27 points in all 12 victories, all 12 wins by at least a touchdown margin. And Donnie, 11 of the 12 victories decided by double digits. There is the idea that even winning by a touchdown is a single score. To lay the 6.5 with San Francisco in that alternate universe is a plus 192 price, but that's not even all that out of the realm when you look at how the 49ers have been the most impressive team throughout the regular season. Yeah. As many thought entering the postseason, the most dominant team by a pretty good margin. It's been those last two playoff games coming from behind, only beating Green Bay by three, not covering as a 9.5-point favorite, coming all the way back from down 17 at the break to beat the Detroit Lions, also by only three, not covering as a 7.5-point favorite. It's left a little bit of doubt with San Francisco.
No, and I hear you on that. And again, that's that drawback point that you want to make. Like, is that actually a good thing that they actually had the trail and come from behind? Because if you have to do it in the Super Bowl, it's like, hey, man, guys, we've never done it. Call timeout. Hey, look, we've never done this before. Let's see if we can do it. They've actually done that. But when you're talking about them front running there, which is what they do and what every team wants to do, Kansas City front runs by waiting the game out. Mm-hmm. San Francisco, if you're going to wait the game out, who's better? Hey, you know what? Let's run the clock out here. Toss sweep to McCaffrey left and right here. You might wind up with a 45-yard touchdown run at that point. So from my angle here, regardless if you think he's going to win that football game, for me, I look at Kansas City, it's roughly by a field goal, which is right on the line, where San Francisco guys has the chance to run it up and say, hey, look, we know you don't have the weapons. Good luck down 14. See if you can come catch us.
No, I agree with Donnie in that regard. I think turnovers are critical, right? Kansas City has won the turnover battle in key ball games against Miami and obviously against Baltimore. They win the turnover battle against Brock Purdy, they're going to potentially maybe cover this number and, more importantly, maybe win by double digits if it gets extended in regards to the second half. I'll just say, and to Kevin's point, in regards to San Francisco struggling in back-to-back games, look at the personnel that they have struggled with, right? And when you look at Detroit and Green Bay, two of the most prolific passing attacks in all of the NFC, potentially all of the NFL for that matter, and you look at it, Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, an above-average tight end in Sam LaPorta from Iowa, right? In regards to that, I did that for Ben. But, you know, and you look at Dobbs and you look at Christian Watson and Jordan Love, which we talked about for the last since November, averaging 275 passing yards per game, 20 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Those were the type of offenses to challenge that San Francisco defense. Do we really believe that outside of Pat Mahomes? And this guy's got me leaning. Let's just do the 10.5.
Yeah. You're even taking it over. You're going to lay the hook on top of the double digits.
That's the biggest number they offer. I mean, that's just what it's going to come down to at this point. By the way, how badly do you wish that was a Packers helmet there right now?
We had him.
You and the entire state of Wisconsin.
Perfect game plan.
No. You're not breaking down.
Yeah. We don't need to go back to the division, right?
Jordan Love needs the legs.
You have to take the knockout shot. 25
and a half.
If you're going to beat Mahomes, you got to knock him out when you're up.
So let me ask you, because you've made this point a couple of times here as we've been in Radio Row throughout this week leading up to Super Bowl Sunday. You expect at a certain point in the game the 49ers are going to be up by double digits.
Yes.
What is the highest alternate spread you would lay with San Francisco?
14. Mm. I mean, the number has to...
And you think I'm nuts.
No, I am. Well, one, yes. But the thing is that you've now made me nuts. But you also went, I'll start at 6.5 and couldn't even finish the breakdown got to 9.5.
Yeah. That's a start.
So, look, it's always, is the juice going to be worth the squeeze, right? Like, my Niners, you know, money line wagers have been in since last week. So what I'm trying to figure out is... do I need San Fran to win this by 13 and I leave the game a little annoyed? Like, I don't want that. I don't want that because I'm already going to have a gigantic sweat until they hand out that MVP trophy as is. So we'll handle that when it is time. We didn't get into the alt total at all here, so I'll just let you handle this. Into the 70s?
Not the 70s.
No, that's only college. 60s?
I think high 50s has the potential. And the reason why I say that is it's a Super Bowl game, right? If whatever team is trailing in regards to the fourth quarter, they're going to be throwing the football. And if you do have the lead.
I'm enjoying this breakdown. Keep going. Keep rolling.
Is this going to go into the breakdown later? Okay. So, and not only that, guys, but points are plenty. You want to put the pressure on Mahomes. 10 points is not enough, especially in terms of the fourth quarter.
Look, I'm going to have some things later on the show. You just come over and say them for me. I mean, that was brilliant.
The jury crew is going to remember all the points made here. He might be fading himself.
You're right about that.
You got to work from downhill.
There's an alt spread already coming up on that one segment we have for some reason.
Kevin's plus 1.5 now. Yeah. Yesterday, a dominant 2-0 sweep. Now he's the underdog.
I might have already predetermined that. I don't know.
Listen, I'll tell you this.
Nothing's rehearsed on this stage.
People are in for a surprise, I think, when Donnie and I go head-to-head.
Going to have to throw the salt.
Once again.
Come on.
Don't you worry about it.
Bye-bye.
That's true. All right, it's a quick break. It's pro football today on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is the Wednesday of Super Bowl week. It is Pro Football Today live right here on the FanDuel Sportsbook set on Radio Row in Las Vegas. We are just a few days away from Super Bowl Sunday. Not only will the Lombardi Trophy be handed out at the end of Super Bowl 58, but a Super Bowl MVP as well. And oftentimes, if a quarterback can win an award in football, they are going to do so. The last two decades of Super Bowl MVP winners, you can see the number breakdown. Down here, 13 have played the quarterback position. Five wide receivers over the last two decades and two defensive players, all coming in the last 10 years. In fact, in the last decade, it has been six quarterbacks, two wide receivers, and two defensive players. The most recent wideout non-quarterback to win a Super Bowl MVP, that was Cooper Kupp from Super Bowl 56. Patrick Mahomes has played in two Super Bowls, and he has won the Super Bowl MVP award each time for the Kansas City Chiefs. As we look at the Super Bowl MVP odds this time around, still heavily juiced for a quarterback to take home the hardware. Minus 280 for a quarterback, a plus 200 number for the rest of the field. Will it be Super Bowl MVP Purdy? Might it be Patrick Mahomes for a third consecutive time with his third Lombardi Trophy? But one of the reasons, Kev, we see this number at only minus 280 for the quarterbacks in the field at a 2-to-1 price is Christian McCaffrey, the only other player along with Purdy and Mahomes to have a Super Bowl MVP price less than $5.
Yeah, look, we all know that CMC Joe has a very real chance to win this. You and I have, though, talked a little bit about McCaffrey working against himself in this game with the respect to if his stat line is 110 scrimmage yards and a touchdown, I had a pretty bad game. I do tend to believe, and McCaffrey's a great starting point for us here on set, if he does not score twice, unless this is a 17-10 final. But if CMC does not find the end zone twice, I think he's going to really struggle to win this award.
No, it's a great point, and we saw no running back up there in regards to that graphic. My brain automatically goes, give me the running back something. I'll take Pacheco, I'll take McCaffrey. But to Kevin's point in regards to McCaffrey, his ability to catch the football out of the backfield, I think will be critical potentially to stealing the MVP trophy, because if he does, to Kevin's point, let's just say goes 50 and 60 in terms of the receiving game, 50 rushers in terms of rush yards and then 60 receiving, maybe two touchdowns as it relates to the passing game, maybe you can make that argument. But if he does, Kev, let's say, rush for 100 yards and then add on or tack on another 60 or 70, which we've seen him do in regards to the regular season, now all of a sudden you're in that perception and that discussion where if they win this ball game by double digits, then he has the potential to, what is he now right now, plus 320?
Plus 440, I believe,
is the... Plus 440. That's a great number. I would take the field at 2-1, though, too.
Taking the field is an interesting concept. That is something that I did for the Cincinnati-LA Super Bowl because it was, well, I know I have Cooper Kupp, but maybe Chase goes wild. Incredibly, there's a lot of people who believe Cooper Kupp didn't deserve that because they thought it should have went to Aaron Donald, who was absolutely dominant in the football game. Yeah. And that is something, I don't want to get off of McCaffrey too quickly, but up there, it's quarterbacks, it's wide receivers, and then sometimes the defense gets in the mix. Where that is so difficult, though, Ben, is you don't go, okay, well, if it's going to go to the defense, it's not Defensive Player of the Year, right? Okay, we're either going to give it to Chris Jones or we're going to give it to Nick Bosa. It is, no. That means a defensive player had this incredible performance and they demand this award.
Yeah, disruptive as well, and you would also think the total stays under 47.5 for a defensive player to really shine, Kev, here in Super Bowl 58. Those two players you mentioned, Nick Bosa and Chris Jones, they are the two defensive players who are non-quarterbacks who have the shortest price to win Super Bowl 58's MVP award. The other shortest number, Donnie, outside of Christian McCaffrey, is a 17-1 price on Travis Kelce. That from when this market opened up following conference championship weekend actually has grown shorter. And as we say, this is a metric award. You need the stats to back it up with a big performance in the big game, but it is narrative, and there is no more popular player in football right now than Travis Kelce that has all of that notoriety around him. Not a running back, Joe, since that 1997 NFL season, and Terrell Davis. Donnie, we have never seen a tight end win Super Bowl MVP.
Legitimate chance for him to do that. And also, it's crazy that you say that because Gronkowski's had some big Super Bowl games and has never won that. Before we get to Kelce and just flip it back for a second on the running back position, it is interesting to see that big frame of 20 years no running back has ever won it. Yeah. But that's indicative now of today's NFL of the phasing out of the bell cow running back. And now when you take a look at, let's just say, past Super Bowls, bring up the Eagles Super Bowl, no kidding, right, going up against the Patriots. Well, the Eagles scored a couple of touchdowns on the ground. Yeah, but did you see how they were done? Corey Clement scored a touchdown that game. LeGarrette Blount scored a touchdown the game. We mean like equal opportunities for multiple backs in those games. And also, let's be real, Tom Brady was in every single Super Bowl, felt like, for the past 15 years at this point, and he's always going to win that. But when you take a look at the Super Bowl this year with these two running backs, they're bell cows. There's a really good chance that one of these guys is going to get 25 carries, and if we are looking at a game that stays under the total, well, if the quarterbacks each threw two touchdowns apiece, but McCaffrey, let's just say, 23 carries, 104 yards and a touchdown, he's going to be in that conversation. But you're right about Kelce. Most people would say the San Francisco 49ers, what is their goal in defense? Just take Kelce away. Well, then why doesn't everybody do that? Why doesn't everybody just step up and say, double cover him, we'll easily win it? He'll be schemed open 2 weeks to get ready. He's going to be live because, again, if Mahomes doesn't have a ton of passing yards and he has 80-plus yards and a touchdown, he's in the conversation.
So let's talk non-quarterbacks for that conference championship Sunday. Travis Kelce, 11 grabs on 11 targets, 116 yards. Yeah. The only touchdown toss that Patrick Mahomes threw was into his arms on that opening offensive possession for Kansas City. NFC championship game against the Lions. Christian McCaffrey, 90 rushing yards, 42 through the air, and multiple scores for the second consecutive game for the 49ers in this postseason. Kev, let's go to the NFC Championship game first. If they were to award a conference championship MVP, do you think it would have been Christian McCaffrey for San Francisco?
I don't. I think it would have been Brock Purdy. I thought what he did as a runner in that game was a huge difference maker. And I thought CMC, despite an excellent game by any normal standards, and I thought by his own, he didn't jump off of the page the way he typically does, probably because he averaged under 5 yards per carry in that game. It wasn't an outrageous performance from him. I'll add this in, though, to your question, Ben, and I'll put it right back to you, though. That Green Bay game, it would have gone to McCaffrey, I know, but there is a conversation to be had about Dre Greenlaw leading the team in tackles and two interceptions, including, I think, the interception that turned the game around.
Yep.
And then the game-clinching one.
Absolutely so. And I think when you look at Christian McCaffrey scoring the game-winning touchdown with just over a minute, he probably gets the nod. If Christian McCaffrey doesn't injure his neck late in that fourth quarter against Detroit to have the game-sealing touchdown that went to Elijah Mitchell, a touchdown for Mitchell, only two for McCaffrey, maybe that also differs for the NFC Championship. Joe, to you on the AFC Championship, would it have been Travis Kelce or would it have been Patrick Mahomes to win that conference championship game MVP against Baltimore?
In the AFC Championship, I would have given it to Kelce. 11 targets, 11 receptions, clearly the best player on that offense. If Pat Mahomes had thrown for 300, 3.25 in regards to that ball game, you can maybe make that argument. I will say this in regards to big picture in terms of how we view the MVP market outside the quarterback position. If you're talking Travis Kelce, keep this in mind as well. It's almost like the Heisman in terms of college, right? Is there going to be a memorable type of play? And the reason why I bring that up is a game that they lost against the Buffalo Bills where they had the lateral to Kadarius Toney. Travis Kelce's involved in a play like that that potentially, Kev, can maybe win the Super Bowl. That's an opportunity if he has the numbers to maybe back him at 17-1 or even McCaffrey, anybody. Could be Debo as well because of their versatility.
I will say there is a market of, I think it's Mahomes against the field at minus 175 that I've been interested in just laying the juice in. So I've been trying secretly throughout this entire segment to play trivia and figure out who the five wide receivers are. I can only remember four, unfortunately. We'll probably just do it during the break.
Yeah.
But I know for a fact, which would be tough if I'm wrong, two of those are New England Patriots.
Yep.
And I think that's really important. Like, when you get here so consistently in the way Tom did and now Pat Mahomes is, you're not going to win Super Bowl MVP every single year.
Yeah.
And if Tom Brady can have Super Bowl MVPs taken off of him, so many people, oh, come on, he got it when James White deserved. I understand that.
Yeah.
But Tom was not handed Super Bowl MVP in the way that, to use the NBA as an example, very often it is, who was your best player? They are absolutely going to win it. Because it's a seven-game series.
Mm-hmm.
Donnie, the Super Bowl is one game. So I'll tell you what. If MVS somehow has six catches for 150 yards and two touchdowns, he's going to win Super Bowl MVP.
You're right. It's not a culmination of award. We have a lot of backtracking. It's like, hey, this guy played really well over the past two, you know, NFC Championship game and the divisional round. That's not the case. But also keep in mind, here's one of those interesting caveats. It's a 60-minute football game. And we hear so many times, like, get your votes in by the two-minute warning. So leave out the big – we talk about, like, the big clutch moment. Like, what happens if you have an interception late in that game? You score the last touchdown. We're led to believe that it's already been predetermined and voted on, which is wild, Joe.
And to Donnie's point, what I was going to bring up for the defensive players, if a player does have an interception in the first half – from the in-game perspective, especially FanDuel does it better than everybody, that's an opportunity to get that player potentially in terms of the MVP market. At least I know he's got one under his belt, yeah, as opposed to pregame where he needs to step up. That's an opportunity. He gets two interceptions, three interceptions, and they dominate from a defensive perspective. You get great value in game.
There is that perception that Brock Purdy is the quarterback for the Super Bowl favorite and yet is not the Super Bowl 58 MVP favorite at the same time because of Christian McCaffrey and all that he means for Kyle Shanahan's offensive system. At a less than 5-1 price, it's McCaffrey and it's the two quarterbacks. But we have said multiple times on this set how important Debo Samuel, fully healthy after an extra additional week of rest, is going to be for San Francisco. And there's that thought, Kev, if it's not Purdy, of course it's McCaffrey because of how important he is. Could Debo Samuel not make a run to that MVP award with all he is going to do on Sunday here in Vegas?
I mean, absolutely, right? And I think one of the attractive things about betting Debo is, just like McCaffrey, he does not — him having a big game does not mean that Brock had a big game, because we just mentioned that Super Bowl repeat special, a 30-yard run.
Mm-hmm.
And if that 30-yard run goes to the house, well. You know, Debo Samuel enters that conversation. And Debo, you know, again, it's not the same level of McCaffrey, but people absolutely adore him. And people often use Debo Samuel to make the point that Brock Purdy's not all that good. And that's why it's not just McCaffrey or even Debo.
Yeah.
Brandon Ayuk all of a sudden is now going to be labeled the best wide receiver in football if they can use that to make the conversation. George Kittle. I mean, we've seen George Kittle have a number of multi-touchdown, receiving touchdown games here. Could that be enough to kind of shake, rattle, and roll? I mean, look, I put eyeballs on Trent Williams. He's 750-1 to win Super Bowl MVP.
Tackle eligible.
I'll tell you, look, the way that people talk about Brock Purdy, I would not be surprised. It looks clear. And honestly, I'll tell you right now, Trent Williams was incredible all game long off the left side, and he's got to be the guy. Would he need to score?
Yes.
Like
yes.
the fringe?
Yes. 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 Like and that price is, I believe, like 150, 200 to 1.
That exists?
Yeah.
Of course you know that. You're the best.
Juicy.
Like a DB out there, right, who has an absolute lockdown, shutdown game. He covered everybody, never gets the ball. Like, can't be MVP.
They didn't even throw his
way. Exactly. Terrible. That guy, come on.
He brought nothing to the table. I was going to say something mean.
You were.
We will talk about Ben's favorite players next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey guys, big ball game. This is for you.
A kicker has never won a Super Bowl MVP award. Could this be the year in 2024? I would say so. And I think Harrison Butker, despite, why not? We're here in Las Vegas. We talked to Robbie Gould yesterday.
Good
he
guy.
Kicked for San Francisco last year. Like he was their kicker in Super Bowl 54. He made a couple of field goals. Robbie Gould. 86.5% field goal percentage in his 18-year NFL career. Top 10 in National Football League history. Never missed a kick in postseason during his time. But it's not about Robbie Gould. It's Jake Moody, the third-round draft pick out of Michigan, who was a little bit shaky throughout this season and into the playoffs. But Harrison Butker has been here. He had the game-winning kick last year, Donnie, against the Philadelphia Eagles. If there was a time for a kicker to win Super Bowl 58's MVP award, which guy you going with?
It would actually be Butker again in this spot. Like, not only Moody hasn't been on that biggest stage yet, I'm actually quite confused why the odds are lining up this way. Like, why would he be the kicker of record? Who would be it? Because they're going to win the football game?
No, well, yeah, that yes. maybe, but also, unfortunately, it's because, well, there's no way Buckner's going to beat out Mahomes, but Moody beating out Purdy will be the hottest conversation on the
block. Exactly. Right. The quarterback that can't win the MVP, you need to go to that kicker. Got it.
You don't need McCaffrey for your argument that Brock Purdy is not deserving of Super Bowl MVP. You just go to the kicker.
Right. One of the reasons, though, I did think this was worthwhile bringing up, along with how much you love it,
thank you,
is we are not that far removed from spending a lot of time asking if Evan McPherson was going to win Super Bowl MVP heading into that game.
Yeah, Ben broke it down beautifully. I felt
thank
like
you.
I was watching an award show for kickers. My assessment, just bet no touchdown in the game for 35,000-1. No touchdowns.
That's actually not a bad idea.
If you love the kickers, no touchdown.
No touchdowns. All right, so you like this game under now.
Yep,
no, that's
go.
A
all under.
That's a fail safe.
Shelling it.
Safeties and field goals.
You know what we're talking about next? The field right here on Pro Football Today.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.